Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Welcome to In Depth, and our in-depth guests today are from Municipal Broadband PDX. On the phone, we have Michael Hanna, and in the studio, Russell Sr., both board members for Municipal Broadband PDX. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And do we have Michael on the phone? Hey, there you are, Michael. Hi. You know, this is such a fascinating subject. The organization's goal here is to give consumers an alternative to the current slate of privately held internet providers by creating a community-managed network that's built to serve its people. That's essentially saying you want to make the internet like a public utility, like water and power and so forth. We really appreciate you joining us here on KBOO to talk about this today. Now, I just gave a brief description of the goal of Municipal Broadband PDX and its mission. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the organization started, why you decided to take on this goal of providing a public alternative to current internet providers?
So I've been involved with an effort to try to get telecommunications policy working in the interest of the users for the last over a decade with an organization called the Personal Telco Project, which is a local nonprofit. And we've been fighting for this for a while. Back in 2007, the city of Portland actually did a feasibility study to look at this and came back with a sort of a marginally positive result, but they decided not to go forward with it at the time. And subsequent to that, we had, you know, the potential of Google Fiber coming, which kind of put a campaign on the back burner. But it really got reignited 2 years ago when the incoming Trump administration FCC chairman said, oh, we're going to get rid of the net neutrality rules. And at that point, you know, it smoked people out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, there was a groundswell interest in creating a public utility where, you know, the users' rights could be validated in some way. Right now, basically, users don't have rights, and there's no institution really willing to stand up and give them rights.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about net neutrality later on, but first I want to back up a little bit. I know that probably most people listening could answer this question in some way, but what are some of the problems with privately held internet providers when it comes to accessibility?
Well, so first you have literally your choice is to either subscribe or not subscribe. There's no institution that's either willing or able to give you any more rights than that. So the big opportunity, and on top of that, they're just extracting wealth from people who use the internet here. On top of which, as a function of that, and their ability to control price, there are many, many people in our community that just can't afford it and forego what, you know, today is an essential utility, you know, an essential part of, it's no more a luxury than paved streets.
Right, exactly.
And just to add on to that, surveys have found that that about 28% of Black and Latinx and low-income households in Portland Metro lack broadband in the home.
Wow.
So there's a significant portion of our population that's being left behind. And as Russell said, you know, this is just a fundamental part of life now, just like electricity or water. It should not be a luxury.
Right. I mean, you need the internet to get a job. You need the internet to hook up your electricity and water in lots of cases, you know, to buy a home,
exactly,
to rent a place. It's not like it's an option anymore to do without.
To be a student, too. I mean,
to do your homework.
Everything is online now.
Right. Well, I can imagine that the privately held providers really want to protect their turf. And have they been actively involved in trying to quash this effort?
Not allowed. We actually, they've been very quiet publicly. Mm. They've been not shy about spending money in other places where this has been on the ballot. For example, approximately 2 years ago, there was a ballot initiative in Colorado where they needed to, they actually have to have in Colorado, they have to have an election just to consider doing this. They have to opt out of a state law. And they were outspent by the cable and telephone companies there $1 million to $15,000. And yet the citizens of, this is in Fort Collins, Colorado, the citizens there still voted 60-40 to go ahead. In fact, they're rolling out right now and signing up customers.
Wow. So since you talked about Colorado, let's open this up a little bit. This really isn't a very new idea. As you mentioned, it had been investigated in 2007 here in Portland.
Right.
And apparently it's a public utility in some other countries as well. Where has it been successful?
You know, I'm not so familiar with the examples in other countries. I know there are places, you know, Sweden has a much different telecommunications model than we do in the U.S. And I know, you know, East Asia, South Korea and so forth, they have a different model as well. In the U.S., we're sort of constrained by what the FCC lets us do.
Mm-hmm.
They basically set the rules on internet, and you know, they've basically been just handing the keys over to the companies that own the infrastructure.
Have they been in any way helpful? Are they interested in partnering with your efforts in any way?
Not so far that we've heard.
Well, I'm just wondering. Yes. I mean, I'm just thinking from a public relations standpoint, they're always trying to make themselves look better and more community-minded. This would be a great way to do it.
Well, from an efficiency point of view, it's really silly to have more than one infrastructure in the streets. There ought to be a high-capacity infrastructure, and then everybody ought to be able to use it. It's called an open access model. They do that in different places. We used to do that for DSL here.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know, the phone company owned the phone wires that went to your house. But if you were an ISP, you could essentially contract with a phone company and be able to sell your ISP services over the DSL. So the thing that really screws us here is that it's super expensive to put the infrastructure in the street. And then the rules around that are such that the owner of that infrastructure basically controls it completely. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get a competitive environment that way. You know, you don't have choices, basically.
I think one key thing about the puzzle, too, is that currently the two largest providers, Comcast and CenturyLink, are running over their own networks. And so Comcast is running over the coaxial cable, you know, old cable TV wires that run into houses and businesses. And then CenturyLink is running over the twisted copper phone lines that have been there for a very long time. And so really what we're exploring in municipal broadband is running a whole new infrastructure along fiber optic cables, which, you know, most industrialized nations in the world are doing, running fiber optic to the home, because that really is the backbone of the internet. And that's really the only way to future-proof the network, you know, is something that has very high capacity, operates at near the speed of light, and would be an entirely new network. And so I think that's part of this whole thing, too, is that this would be a brand new infrastructure. And with Comcast and CenturyLink, the two biggest providers, they have their own networks. And so there would be no reason for them to, collaborate with us on this, because it would be a threat to their existing networks.
Gotcha. So while we're on the subject of building infrastructure, what do you guys think about this national push for 5G, and how does that affect your network?
So 5G is what I like to call a gigantic hype storm right now.
Oh, okay.
So it means different things in different contexts. You'll see ads for things that are just kind of silly and not really connected to reality. And then they'll conflate that with something else. For example, T-Mobile was talking about their low frequency things and how it'll go miles. And then they talk about super fast things, which actually only goes about 200 feet or 200 meters maybe. Which would require stuff all over the place and does not go very far. So there are people talking about different things, and in the end, it's the phone company owning your access to something and being the sort of privileged middleman in that interaction. So your interests are not going to be well represented with 5G.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about net neutrality, which we touched on a bit earlier, which sort of dovetails into this. Define the term. Right away.
So net neutrality is basically the idea that the carrier can't privilege one kind of traffic over another.
Somebody pays more, they get faster service, that
right.
sort of thing.
And, you know, there are analogies for this with, like, public streets, mm-hmm. right? You can drive or bike or whatever down a public street and turn off anywhere. You can stop, go to a public or private endpoint at the other end of your trip. And that's kind of what net neutrality is. There's an infrastructure. No one tells you where you can go and where you can shop. you can get from one place to another one as well to one place as to another, pretty much. And so that's the basic idea. And because the carriers have this control, they can use, they dollar bills go off in their eyeballs and they say, we can make rules that favor us in some way, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a blank slate of things that little games they can play.
Well, of course, the previous administration felt strongly about net neutrality and how it was absolutely essential. How has that changed with the current administration? I mean, obviously a lot.
So the reality is that over the last couple of decades, the rules haven't changed that much. I mean, they've been continuously hostile towards the user and in favor of the owners of the infrastructure. There was a brief window in the end of the Obama administration where they finally found something that was an enforceable way of enforcing net neutrality. And we had that window where they said, hey, this is what we're going to do now. This is great. And everybody cheered. And the new administration came in and they said, no, we're going to yank that all back again. Mm-hmm. So, we get these little bones tossed to us as users occasionally, but the overriding thing is that the FCC really isn't our friend one way or the other, and we need to be solving this at a local level.
Okay. So we are talking with Michael Hanna and Russell Sr. They are board members from Municipal Broadband PDX about the goal of making internet service a public utility. So tell me, if this were to happen, what do you see as the impact on the community?
Certainly in the long term, we'll save lots of money. Right now, we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on telecommunications just in Portland alone. I think the number I came up with was $300 million in revenue every year that goes to Comcast for their cable operations, which includes their television and their internet. We don't know exactly how much it would cost to build a network like this, but it's on the order of either $500 million or something like that. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less. That's partly what this, there's a feasibility study right now going on to help establish
here in Multnomah County.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
right.
All right. And any status updates on that plan at all?
So it just launched in October. We're hoping to have results in the spring, hope April to June sometime. And then we'll have a lot more information on which to judge.
And Michael, you're on the phone, so I wanted to
give
you the opportunity.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a few other benefits. I mean, I think as Russell mentioned, there's the concept of keeping money in the local economy, which can boost the economy through the multiplier effect and have jobs stay local. You know, because if in terms of building out a new fiber optic internet utility, there'd be a lot of jobs, local jobs in building that network, and then there would be jobs in operating that network. And then also local businesses can benefit, new startups, local businesses can thrive. So there's obviously an economic aspect, but I think there's also an inclusion and access aspect that we're really hoping to be a model for other places around the country as well, where, like I mentioned, there's a lot of people who are left behind currently. And so we really want to make sure that that inclusion is a core part of this. So homes with students have access to broadband, subsidized broadband for low income or elderly households. And so, really making sure that everyone gets a chance to participate in the economy and the technology advances going forward so that nobody's left behind.
So Municipal Broadband PDX has an event coming up. I want you to tell me a little bit about that. Tell us all about it.
Why don't you hit that, Michael?
Sure. Yeah, it's tomorrow night, December 17th. It's going to be out at Multnomah East building. I don't have the address in front of me, but if you go to our website, municipalbroadbandpdx.org/townhall, you'll see all the information. And it's also listed on Eventbrite on Facebook. So this Broadband Town Hall by Municipal Broadband PDX. It's a free event. Doors open at 5:30. We're going to have a taco and burrito bar and beverages, and then speakers will begin at 6:00. And we have Commissioner Lori Stegman from Multnomah County, East County. We have City of Gresham Commissioner Eddie Morales, and we have Multnomah County Commissioner Jessica Vega Peterson, as well as our County CIO Chief Information Officer Bob Leek will be speaking. So it'll be a chance for the elected officials to talk about this project and the feasibility study. We'll talk about our campaign, what we've been up to, and we'll get a chance. A whole half of the event is dedicated to getting feedback from the attendees at the event. So show up and give us your feedback, and we'll be collecting it for the feasibility study.
Such an important issue. And if people want to get involved in helping you with this cause, best way to do that?
Just go to our website and sign up for our emails newsletter. So we get periodic emails about updates of what's going on with the campaign. So that's the best way to plug in, and also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Wonderful. I tell you what, this sounds like an idea whose time has definitely been on the way, coming and way overdue at this point. Once again, you can get more information at municipalbroadbandpdx.com. The town hall is tomorrow.
Dot org.
Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. Yes, .org. Municipalbroadbandpdx.org. The town hall is tomorrow night. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Free burritos and tacos, people. In addition to talking about making, you know, the internet a utility, which is very important. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Russell, for being
You're
with
welcome.
Us here tonight on In Depth on KBOO.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.